Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your very scared host, Alex, and I'm here with my co-host, Austin. Austin, help me.
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Oh, God. Y'all, this is awful. We were just sitting down to record when all of a sudden, out of fucking nowhere, a buzzing sound happened. And there was a wasp out of nowhere.
I'm so mad we didn't save that audio because it was such good
screamed
audio.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, I panicked and yanked the microphone out of the computer and it stopped recording, so.
Okay.
Guys, it was from nowhere. I have no idea if it came out of the fireplace because it was just around the fireplace out of nowhere.
And it's still there.
It's flying around somewhere. It disappeared around the corner. I'm pretty sure it's in the bathroom that I managed to like close the door, and I think it's trapped in there unless it figures out how to crawl onto the ground and like come out. So just a fair warning, at any time I might start screaming again.
Oh, this is fun. It's like there's a bomb that could go off at any moment.
This is like really intense. I'm so scared. I hate the buzzing. It's just, it awakens something like primeval, like this terror. I don't know. And now I have to do this recording knowing there's an imminent danger like lurking around the corner.
Okay. So that was Alex's week.
This is horrible. I'm equipped. I have my fly swatter and my...
You have the raid?
Lemongrass ant and roach killer. I hope it works on wasps.
Yeah, it'll kill anything. It'll kill everything.
It says it's pet safe.
Not if you have a pet ant or roach.
It smells really strong. It's lemongrass. It's got a really strong smell. Kills over 20 household pests. Oh, it says that. Roaches, ants, spiders, beetles. Kills flying insects, flies, moths, and mosquitoes. It doesn't say wasps.
Doesn't kill wasps.
Oh my God, it doesn't kill wasps. It has to
kill. My understanding is any sort of any chemical will kill a bug. You know?
It better fucking kill it, because I'm going to freak out.
Last night, I had a firefly in my place.
I'd rather have a firefly. Fireflies are so docile and sweet, and...
It was pretty. I was able to pick it up and just move it outside.
Yeah, why can't I have a firefly? This is horrible. So, I'm on high alert. Austin, what about you?
I'm on low alert at the moment.
Christ. Oh, please.
I hope another firefly gets in.
God.
Oh, but I can't do a grave with the firefly situation. I can't handle that.
No, fireflies can be sad. They're kind of melancholy. But there is something about a flying bug that just, like, freaks me the fuck out.
I don't understand why you didn't just go in the bathroom and kill it.
Because I was so scared. If I opened the door and it was, like, at face level, like, flying at me, what am I supposed to do? Like,
what if it's on the other side of the door and you open it and it would be...
I know. I'm so scared. Like, what if it's crawling around on my toothbrush right now? I'm terrified. Everything has to be thrown away. I don't know. What if it is on my towel? Oh, this is horrible.
There's only so many places it can be.
I know. Well, it's not in here, so it has to be in there, because it wasn't in the laundry room, so... Fuck. All right. Well, let's try to not freak out. Let's talk about our weeks instead.
Okay, I finished Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
And how was that?
EA sucks.
They really do. They suck. Man, so bad.
Glitches.
Let's not talk about EA, because I'm going to go on a huge diatribe of how they ruined Dragon Age.
Well, all I can say is there's one part early in the game where if there's a cutscene that plays and it freezes the game, and you have to... The only way you can avoid it is by turning down the graphics fidelity to performance over quality, or whatever it's called.
Damn.
And I was like, that's pitiful. That's pathetic.
That is pathetic. But you finished it.
I finished the main story campaign. At one point, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do all the side quests. And then I started to do that. And I was like, fuck the side quest. So I finished. The credits rolled and I was done.
Oh, so you're not even interested in, like, continuing on.
Do you want to play a Metroidvania for me?
No. I'll pass.
You hate that genre.
I really do. I'm sorry to all the fans. I know it's, like, a super popular genre, but I myself just could never get into it.
one day I'm going to play all the Metroid games. Like, day is not today, but one day.
Sure. I feel like I should, like, appreciate Hollow Knight. Everybody talks about how good it is, and I just can't get into it. I'm so sorry.
How are you? What's going on? What movies did you see? What'd you do?
So, okay, two things. One, I have been playing a new game because Josh played it and he really enjoyed it and was like, oh my God.
Oh, you have Disco to Elysium.
Yes, he finished it. And so now he urged me to play. So I've been playing when I'm over there with him. And it's pretty good so far. It's pretty much like an RPG with just the dialogue only. It's very much like a text-based story game. It's pretty interesting.
He is obsessed with that game.
I know, he really is obsessed with that game. It's unlike anything I've ever played before. It's pretty interesting. What else? I watched a couple movies this weekend. We went to go see 28 Years Later. I had to refresh my mind because I literally had not seen 28 Days Later in at least a decade. And I've never actually seen 28 Weeks Later.
Is 28 Weeks Later relevant at all to it?
Okay, this is my take, having just watched all three of these movies over the past 3 days. 28 Days Later was like the original one, which was 2002, by the way. Can you believe that? That was so long.
That's only 23 years later.
I know. That one was pretty simplistic, I think, because it's like the basic foundation of like zombie outbreak happens, guy wakes up in city with no knowledge of what's happening, and then try to navigate this brand new situation. I actually preferred, after having seen yesterday's 28 Years Later, I liked the second one better. Like, all of them.
That's sacrilege.
I know. Is that so weird to say? I'm sorry. 28 Weeks Later was my favorite, I think.
More than Years.
More than Years. Years was a little strange, in my
opinion. Isn't it like part one of two?
So, technically, this would be the third movie in the franchise, if you want to call it that, but it's not a trilogy. I think this movie is going to be the start of a trilogy, which is weird.
So it's part one of three. Okay, got
it. I think so. I could be wrong on that.
Well, what's the next one going to be called? 28 Years and 28 Days Later?
Fuck if I know. Maybe 28 Years Later Part 2 or something. I don't know, but...
Ew.
It's interesting. There's some odd implications in the movie, and I really wish they had spent more time talking about different things. I think some of the characters' reactions to stuff was a little odd, and the ending was definitely weird.
Okay, just, you can nod your head yes or no.
Okay.
Does Cillian Murphy show up? Okay, good to know.
Okay.
Does Jeremy Renner show up?
No, my God. Okay, so is this a spoiler? Spoiler if you haven't seen 28 Weeks Later. I was so devastated when his character died.
I don't even remember him dying in that movie.
Oh my God, I was heartbroken. He was like my favorite character in that movie. And I couldn't believe how he just like died. It was so sad. Anyway, spoiler over. So yeah, I don't know. It was an okay movie. I was entertained, but it was interesting. Mm. And I don't know what I thought, but I didn't think some stuff was going to happen. I thought different stuff was going to happen. I don't know what I thought.
That's interesting. Zombies aren't really in fashion at the moment.
Well,
so it's interesting timing, I guess.
They are. They're coming back, I guess.
They are? What else? I guess Last of Us is zombies, kind of.
Yeah. What other zombie-like thing? Is that it? Is that recent? I think that's it.
It's not like the zombie boom of a while ago.
No. It wasn't like when Walking Dead was, like, huge. I guess we can just jump right in. I'm, like, sorry. I'm, like, so distracted right now. I'm, like,
I know scanning, you are. I'm gonna distract you with listener feedback from Pokemon Megastar right now.
Please make me feel better, because...
This is from our previous podcast. The people want us to do streaming Let's Play stuff, Alex. I'm just saying.
Is that, guys, is that true? Do you really want us to play
games? Yeah, we've had multiple people over the years.
Okay. All right. Well,
you're in charge of that project.
We need to find out what we should play first. That's our main mission. Okay.
Pokemon Megastar complimented us on our answers to their gym question, specifically saying that I loved Austin's twist with Machamp. Alex, you unlocked a core memory with Orin High School Host Club. I love that anime.
There you go. I know. Bring him back the nostalgia.
Glad Brawly put Ash in his place, so he hopefully won't act like that in Hoenn again. Well, hope is forever, but it's not necessarily reality.
Oh, Pokemon never change.
I know of an episode specifically with Asshole Ash coming back.
Oh, boy. I love Asshole Ash, even though I always, like, drag him for it. I know. I love it in theory, but I hate it, like, in reality.
Pokemon Megastar had a nicer view of Ash than you did, saying, I took Ash saying that as him admitting he got them hurt. I won't deny that he has done this before, but I do think he feels bad. But it's cool to see Ash learn, which makes sense. And they agree that they thought this was the core fish, which I'm not convinced it wasn't the core fish, but also that Mei should have just called her Wurmple. MVP is Jason Griffith, voice actor for Brawly, and multiple Sonic characters, but mainly the main hedgehog himself, Sonic. Even if it was a bit cheesy, he pulls off the surfer dude well. I'm just going to say, nothing against Jason Griffith or his performance of Brawly. I just did not care for the kind of half-assed surfer dialogue he had to work with.
Totally tubular dude, bro.
Alex says that as she frantically darts her eyes from wall to wall looking for
Okay, you know what? I'm having to do an every so often periodical, like, look around.
Periodically every 2 seconds.
Although I feel like the telltale buzzing will give it away. That's the thing I'm really, like, afraid to hear is the buzz. Because then I'm like, oh, fuck, it's coming.
The LVP is Ash's battle strategy of just bum-rushing the gym. Stupid. That's
very fair assessment, I think.
MVP for the Wurmple episode is Team Rocket, but leaning toward Jesse because they were funny. And LVP is Max, mainly because he got attacked so much during this episode. I love Max getting attacked. Quite frankly, he has it coming.
I love Max. Max has been my, like, underrated, like, he's been the underdog. I didn't think I would, like, have an opinion, really, about him, but I appreciate him. He's pretty consistently entertaining.
So do we want to dive into the episodes immediately and just see what Max is doing today?
I think so. I think we should fish up some stuff to talk about.
Let's go diving into these caves and see what we can find.
Oh my god. Okay, I'm sorry. Not to, like, derail the conversation. You saying that just unlocked, like, another fear. I cannot understand people who go spelunking or, like,
I knew we were going to talk about this. I knew this was coming. I knew it.
How could you not? How could you not? There's so many horror stories with people.
You've seen the infamous image of the guy head first. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. This trigger warning for cave, horrible cave accidents. The infamous Nutty Putty cave tragedy. Like, that.
That's the one where the guy got stuck.
That's the guy.
He's, like, head down.
Yeah, that's the guy where he got stuck face first into the hole because he took the wrong tunnel, I guess. There's, like, a cave system that was pretty much mapped out, but there was, like, an area of the cave that was kind of unexplored for a good reason. But he mistook the turn that he needed to make and went into this other smaller area, got stuck. They mounted this rescue, or attempted rescue, and I think they almost had him out at one point, but the carabiner, like, the anchors that they had put inside the cave wall, like, snapped, flailed back, hit another rescuer in the face, and, like, pretty severely injured them.
Oh my god.
And then he ended up sliding farther into the hole. Oh my god, guys, it's the worst. I know there's, like, a number of podcasts and videos and news articles about this, and I just caution you if you look it up, because it's one of the most horrific stories I've ever heard. That poor man. R.I.P.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Please don't go caving.
You ever watch the videos of people spelunking?
Not willingly. Like, I just...
I do occasionally, and it's a lot. I especially saw one where the guy is, like, going from left to right, or whatever. He's going, like, horizontally. Stop. But someone flipped it, so he's going straight down.
No, that's horrible.
And I was like, this is a nightmare. Obviously, it wasn't real, but it was, like, oh, nightmare. And, like, their clothes get all shred up because they're, like, squeezing through the rock, and I'm like... Why do humans do this?
You'll never catch me in a cave. I'm just saying, people have all kinds of adrenaline-inducing pastimes and thrill-seeking things that they like to do. I just think it's incredibly dangerous. Incredibly dangerous. And I think a lot of people go without a lot of preparation. Bad.
We get our excitement from watching children's cartoons and talking about them on the internet.
That's all the excitement I need in my life. Right now, actually, I have enough excitement in my life with this wasp hanging around, so...
Oh my god.
That's as much adrenaline as I can handle on a given day, so there you go.
Thank you. Okay, well, why don't we just not beat around the bush and do... What is the first episode called?
This is A Whole Lot of Trouble That We're In.
What's the second one called?
Gone Core Fishing.
Okay, let's flip the coin and see who's going to do what.
Oh my god, I hope I can do the Steven episode. Ah!
Fuck. That wasn't a very good flip, so let's flip it again.
Okay.
That still wasn't a very good flip, so let's flip it again. That still wasn't a very good flip, so let's flip it again. Oh my god, are you serious?
What is this probability bullshit? Oh my god, stop. Oh my god.
Okay, well, fifth
one
time.
More time.
Are you serious?
Austin. One more time. You're clearly, okay. Your hands are broken or something.
Alex, I hate to tell you this.
Stop. You stop right now.
One more time. Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
Oh my god. We have eight. Is it the eighth time I flipped tails?
One more time. It has to be.
Okay, one more time. Okay, ninth time's the charm.
Thank god. We cheesed that one a little bit.
What?
I said we cheesed that one a little bit.
You think? I guess I'm going to do the 30-second summary, and you're going to do the
full...
Wow,
I can't believe that happened on the first try.
Wow.
That you are doing the 30-second summary, and I am talking about the Steven episode. Wow.
Y'all, that was a sign from some sort of entity. We should not be doing this, but we're going to do it anyway.
I think we're bringing, like, a curse down upon ourselves, but fuck it, who cares?
Okay, timing, I guess.
It was meant to be this way. It's destiny, Austin. You can't go against destiny. All right. 3, 2, 1. Go.
Let me flip the coins a few more times and see what happens. Okay, so we are in Granite Cave, and it's a very spacious cave, so thankfully we're in no danger of getting stuck. There's a bunch of Auron, which is not how I pronounce that, but whatever. The teams get split up, so it's Max, Pikachu, and Meowth, which is the best crew. And it's May and Jesse, and there's also the boys, James, Ash, and Brock. And Steven's there, and Steven's an idiot because he's there just for a Firestone that you can buy at the mall. And then the episode ends after Steven blows a hole in the wall.
Time. Oh my gosh. Guys, it's happening. Steven! Should I admit to my Steven?
You've already read a fan fiction on this podcast where you and your self-insert character had a romance.
No, it's not a self-insert character. That is falsification. I do not ever write self-inserts.
This is my OC character, yes. Lexi.
No, God. Her name was Harper, I think.
Can't Harper.
Remember. Harper.
Lexi.
Yeah, so I love Steven. Steven is probably one of my favorite characters. If I had to, like, ship
because he's
a crack...
Hot.
Yeah, he is hot. If I had to ship, like, a crack fic pairing, it would be May and Steven.
Because you're self-inserting into May.
That's true. But no, it's because she's the main character of the game that he appears in, which I never think of them as the younger kids. Please don't think I'm a weirdo. I am a weirdo, but not for that reason.
Yeah, too late.
Too late. Anyway, enough over-explaining. I love Steven.
Was Steven just amazing this episode with the way he... walked around in a cave for months.
Oh my god,
on
those piercing blue eyes. Yes, of course.
Oh boy.
He was actually kind
just
of
remember
boring.
That he's probably gonna be like Mr. Stone. Oh, he's actually kind of boring.
He didn't do as much as I thought he was gonna do in this episode. But he had some emotional outbursts that were, I guess you could kind of be like, ooh, that's sexy.
He also wasn't wearing his suit.
Thank god.
Oh, you don't like the suit?
I don't like his, like, weird upper armband cuffs that he wears.
What? Is there anything about Steven that you do like? You think he's boring? You
no,
don't
I
like his
him.
Outfit?
But stop, I love him so much.
Okay.
Okay, what's his outfit look like in Oras? I think that's what we need to like.
It's
look
like
at.
Almost exactly the same.
Is it really?
He has more of a handkerchief thing going on, like a Fred from Scooby-Doo.
They got rid of his stupid armbands. So
okay,
there
they
you
gave
go.
Him like wrist armbands.
Yeah, instead he's got like weird bottle cap cuffs on his arms. His new outfit looks better. He's got an ascot. Would you call that an ascot? Some kind of scarf.
It's giving Miles Edgeworth.
Oh, it kind of is, now that you say that. Well, I do like Miles Edgeworth, so.
Oh, of course you do.
I was always more of like the Sasuke-leaning type than the Naruto-leaning type. Anyway, Steven is here, and he's great.
Is he? Is he? Is he great?
He's great, even though he's slightly boring. Okay. He can't really do anything wrong, so let's not, like, disparage Steven.
I'm gonna get you this action figure of Steven.
Oh my god. That would be great.
Look at the little Metagross sitting next to him.
He's a steel type trainer, and as we know, I love steel types.
Oh, is that what it is?
What is happening? Oh, the little Metagross is super cute.
I want to buy that. How much is it?
It's probably too much.
Probably.
Way too much. All right, so we have to find Steven first before we can gush all over him and not like that. We have to find him first.
The way they're looking for him is so weird. They're, like, obsessed with finding Steven.
I know.
And it's like, so why? There's really... Because Mr. Stone told you his son was there? Like, that's not very interesting. I guess Nurse Joy also was, like, gushing all over him, so...
Can you blame her?
So between Mr. Stone and Nurse Joy, we gotta go find him to gush on him.
Gossipmonger Joy, yes.
Yes.
So we are setting off in search of Steven with the singular goal of bothering him because we don't have anything better to do with our time. So we happen upon the opening, which Ash says that with a very interesting flair, I feel like. Mm. He's like, oh my God, look at that opening. It is a big opening.
Ooh.
If
you buy this Steven figure from PokemonCenter.com, it's $65, by the way.
$65?
Yeah. That's too Purchase much. Limit of two. Let's see what I can find on eBay. Oh, never mind. The one with the tiny Metagross is $106 on eBay.
I can't afford that. I'm so sorry.
Ooh. Okay, these are like $18. This is the one I want.
18.
Ooh, it looks odd. Look at his face.
In this. Am I supposed to click on this? Hold on.
Yeah.
Wait, the one from Pokemon Center or the one from eBay?
The Pokemon Center one is fine. The one on eBay is the Pokemon Moncala.
I'm not sure if I like this, like, strange orangey-yellow aura thing that's, like, surrounding him.
It's a bit much on the Pokemon Center one.
Yeah. Oh, this one, here, let me go to eBay. Oh, he looks kind of, his face is looking a little creepy.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get cheap ones.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's get back to it.
Okay, where did we leave off?
We hadn't even started yet.
Oh, we're the at opening. The, cave. The opening. We're at the opening. Oh my God, we're not even in the cave yet. Okay, so right off the bat, we're with Team Rocket, which is kind of a surprise because they're like here already. And they have an ingenious plan because they're digging a hole. Because who would expect a hole, I don't know, in a cave where there's a bunch of holes?
That's why you need that bike that will go over the holes.
Oh, yeah. What's that one called? Fast enough to, like, the Mach bike or whatever.
Yeah.
We don't have one of those, unfortunately, because it costs like
Pikachu would have fried it.
That is true. Pikachu and bikes don't mix. James, though, is so over this hole digging shtick. He's like, why can't we just directly battle the twerps? I'm tired of sneaking around, but they're getting into it and can't figure out what to do next. Meanwhile, the twerps have started to just scream out Steven's name into the echoing void because, like,
oh my God,
why the hell not?
I wanted to pick Ash up by the collar and be like, what the fuck are you doing?
I know, he's just like, Steven, are you there? Hello, answer us, Steven.
I'm like, this is what you would do.
I mean, no, I wouldn't. I'm not that crazy. Ash is so annoying. I'm like, first of all, you're going to cause like a cave-in or something. And two, that's just so annoying. This poor guy doesn't even know you're on the way. And then all of a sudden, you're just like screaming for him in this cave. Like, come on. Fortunately, not everybody is without a brain. Brock has brought some like marker stickers to be like, okay, as we go deeper into this cave system, we should probably mark our way so we don't get lost.
I hope he intends on getting those back up when they come back the other way.
I think he was supposed to. Now, whether that actually happens as a result of what the bullshit we go through, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it, but I think the intention was there. Meanwhile, deeper in the cave, Steven does not hear this ruckus yet, but him and his Aaron? How did they say it?
Aaron? They said it weird.
Aaron, I don't know. Please don't come at me if I'm saying that wrong. They're digging for stuff because they just like to dig around in the dirt. The twerps, unfortunately for them, do fall victim to the very obvious hole trap in the middle of the big room because they walk on the very recently disturbed earth and fall into it. But it's not a very structurally stable hole because it's a cave after all. So they fall into the hole further and bring Team Rocket with them. So now it's become a classic mix-up episode where certain groups get separated and we got pairs that we don't normally get.
I usually like these a lot. These are good.
I know. It is wacky. We got some wacky hijinks. So we got Max and Pikachu and Meowth.
The best group.
I know. They're the best in one little area. Then we've got May and Jesse. Arguably, like, the worst, sorry, pair.
Yeah, the worst group.
And then, of course, we have Ash and Brock and James in another group. This is where it gets funny because Ash confronts James, and James claims that he's always the guy who wants to battle Ash fair and square. And it's that Meowth and Jesse and their ideas, they're the ones always coming up with the misbegotten plans to, like, sneak around and capture Pikachu, which I don't really know. I feel like James has kind of been responsible for some stupid ideas.
Yeah, he was the one digging under the gym. Yes.
Oh my god, you're so right. That was his idea, where he was like, oh, let's dig under the gym, Roxanne's gym, and like catch Pikachu. So I think he's just like a liar.
Meowth is usually the idea man, though.
Yeah, well, his ideas always involve like giant mecha robots. So that is an interesting take. I think if James confronted by himself, either he truly feels like that, he just doesn't ever express his feelings, or he's just trying to like save his reputation and look better. I don't know. But they are trapped in a dirt pile, but somehow manage to free themselves from that dirt pile. And this is where James confides with Brock and Ash that he thinks that Jesse and Meowth are a bad influence on him, and he starts crashing out. And I'm sorry, is this going to be your quote? Because I feel like...
Well, I don't think so.
Where he calls them...
No, it was not my quote. Sorry.
He, like, freaks out, and he's like, yee! Jesse's an idiot! Meowth's a loser! I don't need them!
Eric Stewart was going for it this episode. Like, all throughout. He was, like, screaming his head off.
Well, I'm sorry. I know it might not be that obvious, but I'm not Eric Stewart, and I can't do the voice. But that was one of my favorite lines, I think, that James has ever done. Because I was, like, not expecting him to go so hard for Jesse and Meowth. Like, she's an idiot and he's a loser and I don't need them. I was like, damn, okay. Unfortunately, this confession is interrupted because a giant pack? What would you call a pack of Aerons?
Oh, man, what did they say? Did Ash call them a pack?
He says a pack.
Okay. Well, what animal is it?
They're, like, little barky dog things. They're, like,
Are they dogs?
But that's what they do. They're like, and then they like chase them. So,
well, what is Laron and Aggron? I don't think they're anything. Are they? They're what creature are they?
Dinosaur looking things, to be honest.
Is that what they are?
Well, what would you call, like, Aerons are like little ankle biter chihuahua things. Like, they're little.
You're very much on the dog persuasion for
okay,
them.
You know what they reminded me of, actually?
What?
The enemy in Paper Mario, the little fuzzies.
The black things with the big eyes?
Spiky fuzzy things.
That's what they remind you of? Really?
Yes. I don't know why my brain went there. Do they remind you of something?
No. I don't know what they're supposed to be.
Well, what would we call them? If you don't think they're like dogs, they're not like Puchiena or something, then like what would they be?
I don't even know.
I can't even think about. What's an analogous like creature?
Maybe like, what do you call a group of metals?
A group of metals?
Yeah.
A bundle of Aeron? Table? Oh, sorry.
I like periodic table.
An element. No.
A table?
An ore?
A shipment?
What's like a mineral?
An ore of Aeron?
A mineral term.
Pack of Aeron attack.
Okay, fine.
James,
whatever. We are so not creative. Okay. Anyway, thought experiment failed. So the Aerons attack. Yes, of course. And they use James as a human ladder to escape up one of the holes, which was, like, really funny.
Which is Ash and Brock use
James. Oh, yeah, Brock and Ash both, like, jump on his head and run up his body. Like, it's so funny.
I appreciate that.
And Ash, like, shoved him down. He was like, move it out of the way.
He grabbed him and threw him on the ground in front of the pack and was, like, used him as a stepladder.
Ash, I feel like they have a murderous intent when it comes to Team Rocket. I really don't think that they're ever bothered, like, leaving them to die.
Well, they know that they'll survive.
Well, I guess they subconsciously know that they're, like, immune to damage, but still.
I just really enjoyed the visual of Ash manhandling
him. Grabbing him.
Yeah, it was great. That's the Ash that we love.
The Ash hole. It switches around a lot. There's a lot of POV changes. So that was the wacky hijinks with Ash, Brock, and James. And now we're back with Max, Meowth, and Pikachu. They're just wandering through the cave system. Meanwhile, Max is wondering, hey, he hasn't heard the story. So I guess he's trying to get like the down low. Like, he's like, how can you talk if you're a Pokemon? That's weird. And so we actually get a flashback
to season one animation.
I know. I love this.
How jarring is that?
It was really jarring. It's way different visually. But we get a Meowzy flashback, so that was cute. When he tells Max that he had to try to impress this dame, see? And he tried to do that by learning how to speak human language, but she was not interested. And neither is Max. Max is like, fuck this shit. Your story's too long. I don't have time for this.
Max, that's one of the best episodes of the anime.
I know. Calm down. And he's the one that asked, too. I'm like, you asked a question. Like, you don't want the answer to this very interesting story? Like,
my question is, did Pikachu know this beforehand? I don't think he did.
Wait, have we never... In that episode, wasn't he recounting the story?
The twerps were watching Pokemon in Love.
Right.
At the movie theater. While Meowth was revisiting his old roots.
So then Pikachu wouldn't have known that story.
I don't think Pikachu knows that story.
Well, he does now.
I guess he knows that idea.
Okay, wow. So, wonder where Meowzie is now. God, I wonder what happened to her.
We never see her again.
I know. Maybe she's dead. R.I.P. Anyway, so after some running around in the cave, it's very wacky Scooby-Doo hijinks, right? Ash, Brock, James, independently, fall through the same hole that they originally fell through.
Loved it.
Loved it. Steven is also running around trying to figure out the source of this, like, what's going on, because clearly there's somebody in here disturbing stuff. And he's like, oh my god, the hole is getting bigger every time. Like, this is really weird. Then May and Jesse come along and also stupidly fall through the same hole and end up together, right, at this point.
So you kind of skipped over May and Jesse. What do you think of their dynamic?
Oh, yeah. So they had, their little dynamic was clowning on each other, kind of body shaming each other. That was...
God, that was a lot. That was a lot.
I don't really like it, honestly.
They were calling each other fat. It was really weird.
I know. Like, Jesse... First of all, Jesse's like a grown woman. So body shaming like a teenager is bad form.
Well, Jesse's not... Jesse's like a lot of adults in that she behaves like a child.
I mean, I guess there are a lot of older people who body shame younger people. So I don't know. Jesse has always been vain in her appearance. So I'm not condoning her behavior. I just think it's a weird interaction that like their antagonism towards each other has to do with their appearance.
She always antagonizes the girl.
Yeah, I know. She's not a girl's girl, I guess.
No, like, she's not. Because, you know, girls, they don't get along. They have to, like,
they have to be catty to each other and tear each other down. Yeah. Besides, their interaction was, like, the briefest of all of them and not funny, really, so...
No, it was a fail. Which is too bad, because I thought it was funny contrasting them in the previous episode with the Wurmples.
I really thought the Wurmples would make another appearance.
Yeah, I felt like that was a good time for that.
Yeah, that they'd get into another pissing contest about how good their Wurmple was over the other one, but that didn't happen this time. You know, honestly, that probably would have been interesting, because they could have had another, my Wurmple's better than your Wurmple, and they could have used Wurmple's, like, string shot to try to, like, climb out of the hole.
Ooh, that's a good idea, Alex.
But they didn't do that at all, so...
Nope.
Anyway, somehow, eventually, they all end up back together, right? That's the main important thing. But it's Max, Meowth, and Pikachu who finally encounter the fabled Steven. And he's like, oh my god, you're Steven, aren't you? And Steven's like, yes, I am, actually. And he's like, oh my god, my friends and my sister are trapped in this cave. Can you help us get out of here? Otherwise, we'll die in this cave. And he's like, sure, I'll help you. So he leads them back to this area that leads to, like, the waterfall and branches that Max and Meowth and Pikachu were previously at. He's like, that's the way out, I guess. We have to just go back over here.
I thought it was just a meeting point.
Oh, right. You are so right. They wanted to meet up in like a central location because he's like, wherever they're headed.
Where they were going was going to take them to the dead end of the waterfall.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. They were trying to intercept them so they could all figure out a way out. And this is where we learn that Steven apparently has superhuman freakish thighs where he can have a child and two Pokemon on him and jump across a giant ravine. I don't know.
I don't think that Steven Stone has Hulk-like jumping abilities. I don't think that's true.
But he does, Austin.
I just don't believe it. I don't.
You don't think all his, like, digging around and climbing through caves, he wouldn't have, like,
okay, thighs maybe. Of steel? Maybe he's more on the strength side than I might give him credit for.
Okay, so I think in-game Steven is pretty, like, waifish and thin and kind of like an academic type.
Yes.
But I think the Steven in the anime is, like, the rugged, digging around in the dirt kind of guy.
I mean, he's wearing his, like, mountaineer outfit.
I know.
His spelunking adventure.
We don't see him in his mountaineering outfit in the game. Actually, when we find him in Granite Cave, he's not doing any digging at all. He's looking at a mural. Anyway, this Steven has some really delicious thighs, I suppose, and he jumps.
Oh my god.
The little ravine, and so we finally meet at the underground waterfall, and they're all impressed by Steven and his ability to be like an Aaron whisperer. Aaron, I'm still not sure.
A-Rod.
Oh no. But he's like, oh my god, go back to your holes. And everybody's like, wow, he can like control a pack of wild Aarons.
See, I thought the Aaron already knew him.
That's what I thought.
Was going. Yeah, I was like, oh, they know, they trust Steven, so they're going to take his word for it.
I mean, he's been living in this cave for months, I guess.
Like, I have more to say about that, but go on.
Oh boy, I can't wait to hear that. Before the Twerps and Team Rocket, because they're going to like battle, right? Because they're like, oh, it's you. Oh, it's you. Oh, we got to battle. Steven's like, step aside. I'm angry. And he does Hulk out, and he's like, I'm going to settle this my way. So he sends out his Aggron. Very cool. What do you think of Aggron?
I've never been a fan of this line. I'm so sorry.
No, I love it. Oh my god.
Laron actually is my favorite of the three.
I like Laron too.
I thought Steven should have had a Laron as his little companion. And then the Aaron would be wild. And then he throws out his Aggron at the end. So that way we see all three of them.
Oh my god, that's such a good observation. Why didn't they do that? That's silly.
But instead, Laron is just ignored this episode.
That makes me irrationally angry now that you've said that, because that would have been perfect.
So what do you think of Aggron? It has a kaiju vibe to it a little bit.
I like it. I think, wasn't Aaron in one of my team last
It was.
Week? I know. I love steel types. I love Aggron. It's a good one. I don't have complaints.
What do you think of Mega Aggron?
It looks like a Triceratops. It's okay. I like the regular Aggron better.
I like the Mega better.
Let me look.
But it's still not a favorite by any means.
Yeah, I guess it's just a bulkier version of the original with some extra holes drilled into it.
Extra holes.
Extra holes.
Speaking of extra holes.
Oh god. What? Extra holes. Oh, is this like a Hyper Beam joke?
Yes.
Oh yeah, he makes an extra hole when he blasts them away and disintegrates Team Rocket with a Hyper Beam.
He was chewing out Team Rocket for disturbing the Aaron.
Oh.
Which is not fair, because the Twerps were doing the same fucking thing. And then Aggron immediately Hyper Beams them out the side of the mountain and leaves a huge new hole, cave entrance, on the side of the wall. I'm just saying, I think that's going to disturb him a lot more.
Yeah, so Steven's a hypocrite with nice thighs.
Oh my god.
I was expecting him to kind of call the Aaron back and, like, have the Aaron, like, take them away like the Diglets did with Professor Oak on his bicycle that one time. But he basically destroyed, like, their habitat and blasted a huge hole in the side of the mountain. How are they not experiencing, like, a cave-in?
Human beings are not meant to be in caves.
No, they're not. Just stay away from the caves. Just don't. We're not cavemen, SpongeBob. Anyway, so Steven doesn't even bat an eyelash. He basically kills some people, and then he goes right back to digging around. He doesn't even say anything to the Twerps. He's just back in the dirt, digging for rocks. And he finds a Firestone, because that's thrilling. And he's like, oh my god, I've been looking for this forever. This is great.
Mission completed. He found a Firestone.
After
months and months of living in this cave, he found a Firestone. Now it's time to sail away.
Did we get new stones in Gen 3, or was that Gen 4?
That was Gen 4.
Fuck. So I was going to say, couldn't they found something more exciting than a Firestone?
Oh my god, I found the Firestone. I've devoted months of my life to finding this Firestone, and now I'm off to find more stones.
Yeah, so he basically, like, leaves, because there's nothing else for him to find here. That was the one and only thing.
Just the one Firestone. The one Firestone that you have to blow a hole in the wall in order to find it.
Exactly.
So, Steven is a menace. He's not very good at his job. He wastes once of his life living in this cave just to blow it up, take the one stone, which, again, I'd like to repeat, Firestones are not that rare. Remember we went to the... Didn't we go to, like, a festival where there was a bunch of Firestones as a reward? It was, like, the Arcanine something or another. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's such a good point. He's such an idiot. I'm sorry. He's like a himbo. He's a himbo.
He's boring. He's an idiot.
No, he's a himbo. He's super cute, but also a dummy, because he could have just gone over there easily.
Okay, but nothing will turn you off quicker than someone being stupid.
That is true.
They become ugly in your eyes, at least in my experience. If someone says something that's stupid.
Stupid.
I'm like, oh, you're a not attractive person.
Okay, maybe he'll redeem himself, right? Maybe he was just having a bad day.
Okay, so do you want me to reveal what happens to Steven in the future?
No, because nothing you can say will make me hate him.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'm going to ignore Austin.
You always do.
Yes, I always do. Okay, one thing I wanted to point out, because I went back to try to find the place where they mentioned to him that Mr. Devonstone sent them, and I could not find that part. I don't think that happened.
I think maybe Mr. Devonstone called him and told him, I'm sending children your way.
Do you think so? Because that's the only explanation I had.
I guess.
Because he just out of nowhere says, hey, so how's my father? And I was like, wait, when did they ever say, yeah, your dad sent us?
I don't think they did. I don't think there was time.
So he got an email.
Yes.
Be on the lookout. Bolo alert for these weirdo kids.
Oh, we found out Mr. Stone's name, by the way. It's Joseph Stone.
Oh my God, we did talk about that. We were like, he has a name? Joe Stone?
Joe Stone?
Why does that sound like Joe Camel or something? Like, that sounds so stupid. It's like Joe Dirt or something. I don't know. It's too much.
How many more Joes can Alex think of? Let's find out.
Joe Camel, Joe Dirt, Joe Mama. Okay, that's enough of that. But Steven's like, I've had enough of you annoying children, so I'm going to take my little sailboat and I'm going to sail away. Sail away, sail away, sail away into the sunset. And then that's the last we see of him for now.
Until XY.
Wait, I'm sorry. Is that true?
That's what I was alluding to. Yeah, it's true.
We don't see him again until XY.
He's gone.
That's fucked up. Are you kidding me?
He sailed away into the sunset, never to be seen again until XY. That's
insane. Oh, man.
You know what they never mentioned once?
What?
He's the champion of the Hoenn region.
Was that supposed to be like a surprise?
I don't know.
I mean, how would that come up in this particular context, though? Because, like,
hey, Steven, we heard you're the champion.
They don't know if they're ass from their elbow half the time.
They really don't.
Of course they wouldn't know.
I do have a headcanon about that, though.
Can you, like, tell me? I'm so curious.
Okay. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
When we finally meet Wallace, we are told he is a champion. That's in Diamond and Pearl. Then when we see Steven in XY, we're told he's the champion. Then when we see Wallace again in Journeys, he said that, I mean, you know, Steven and I are equals. I'm also on the same level as him, but he seems kind of bitter about it. I think Wallace is the champion first, and Steven is not the champion at this time.
He beats him.
And he's going to take the title from him between now and XY.
That makes perfect sense.
That's my theory.
Where does Juan come in?
We're going to see him.
Okay.
Juan appears.
I like them. All right, so that's an interesting
And then they have a threesome.
Yes, they do. That's an interesting theory. I really think that that's probably, it makes the most sense considering the fact that it never comes up.
So he's not a champion. He's too busy finding a Firestone.
But he's clearly an accomplished trainer at this point because he has an Aggron. But that's apparently all we get to see of Steven for the next God knows how many hundreds of episodes. So that's quite depressing for me.
Enjoy it while you can.
That was it. That was all we had to enjoy. Steven's gone.
Yep.
Sailed away on his little stupid boat.
And let's see if Steven gets the MVP as I flip for one time, not
oh
nine.
Oh my God, nine times.
I get first call. Okay, so my MVP is going to be Steven.
Damn it.
No, I'm lying. My MVP is going to be Max, because Max and Meowth are like kind of the sass masters of their respective groups.
Ooh.
So I thought pairing them together was a good choice.
Okay, yes.
With Pikachu as a third wheel, I guess. And, I don't know, Max makes you laugh. I appreciate him. My quote, there was actually a lot of them.
Wait, who was your LVP?
Oh, sorry. My LVP is Steven because he's a fucking idiot.
Oh. God damn.
My quote is going to be, Max says, Pikachu, boy, am I glad to see you. And Meowth pops in and says, that means you ain't glad to see me.
Aw.
I don't know.
I do really like their dynamic. I thought that was fun.
Meowth and Max is an interesting pairing.
Yeah, they're good together. All right, let's see. My MVP, of course, is going to be Steven. Don't listen to Austin. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
I think I do, actually.
Steven's the ultimate himbo. I love him so much. I really don't want to explain, so there you go. My LVP, God, you know what? It's going to be Jesse. Jesse
fat-shaming
May, because what the fuck?
I'm going to edit my MVP, actually, if that's okay.
Your MVP?
Yeah.
All right, who?
I'm going to change it from Max to Meowth, because I think Meowth was funnier in this episode.
Okay.
Now that I think about
it. Fair enough. I think they're both up there, but I can agree with that.
Meowth doesn't get MVP very often, so I gotta give it to him when he can get it.
Sure. My quote, I have a couple. Can I just share the couple that I have?
Go for it.
Okay, so I already...
You always have permission. You don't need to.
Oh, okay. I already did the Jesse's an idiot, Meowth's a loser. That was funny. James at the beginning says, how many thousands of ridiculous holes does this one make? Then there's Meowth when he is incredulous after Max like leaves him. He's like, when you ask a question, you should wait for that person's answer. And Max says, you're not a person. You're a Pokemon and your story's way too long. So I need to get going. And then my actual quote that I wanted to share was when they're screaming out Steven's name and like wandering around in the void, May is like, this cave seems to go on forever. And Max says, yeah, kind of like you do sometimes.
Maybe Max should be my MVP. I'll give it to Meowth.
Oh my god, I love him. All right, that is it for me.
All right, what's the next one called?
Gone Core Fishing.
Oh, I do not like that title. I cannot remember it.
Core Fishing.
I'm timing you. Let's go Core Fishing. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, bright and early, James and Meowth are raring to go and catch Pikachu, but they're blasted off by an unknown force. This menacing force consistently causes the Torps problems throughout the rest of the episode. It destroys their camp after they're doing some training to meditate so Ash can get better. And meanwhile, this goes on for like 3 days and shit, and they're trying to catch this thing. Turns out it's a core fish. Whether it's the same one from before, mystery, I don't know. But Ash ends up catching it, and now we have a new rapscallion on the team.
Time. Okay. So you thought Team Rocket showed up early last episode? They showed up really early this episode. It's a rare starting with Team Rocket opening scene.
I know. That never happens.
James and Meowth are here to greet the day, and they are here to get on with it. But Jesse just wants to hang out with her mimosa on her beach chair and hang out and take it cool. And Wobbuffet also has a beach chair, so he's with her. James and Meowth don't agree, but wouldn't you know it, a mysterious force that is not a core fish, because we don't know that yet, burrows its way through the ground and blasts them off again. Hooray!
What if it was a Wigglet?
That would be very strange, since Wigglet does not exist yet.
I know.
Meanwhile, on another part of the beach, Ash and Pikachu are doing the exact same thing James and Meowth did by screaming into the morning sun. And then they use Lotad as a water dish. That was really cute.
That was super cute. They like wash their face in Lotad's basin, whatever.
Okay. I actually really like this episode for stuff like that.
I know. That was cute.
This is what Pokemon training is like episode. We get to see them at camp. We get to see them just kind of doing chores and things. Specifically, we got to see non-conventional training and discussions about how training works. So that was really interesting to me. It felt very Diamond and Pearl in that respect.
Ooh, good observation. I think you're right.
This is entirely an episode about training and catching Pokemon, so I really appreciated that. There's little things like Torchic uses Ember to help Brock start a fire for his Brock stew.
Aww.
And May and Max are washing clothes in the water. And the Fortress comes up, and he floats up into the air and spins, so we use him as a dryer to dry all the clothes.
I think that was, like, one of my favorite parts of this. Like you said, kind of the slice of life aspects to traveling around with Pokemon and, like, what they can help you do. Like, Fortress being their, like, tumble dry setting was, like, really funny.
And also the fact that people are interacting with Pokemon that are not their own.
Yes. Within the group. Good point.
I think this group of trainers in Pokemon is the first time it really feels like this is a cohesive unit.
Really?
All before this, like, we would never see Goldeen, or, like, we would never see Onix, yeah, or Geodude. Like, they would always kind of, like, pick and choose their favorites to come out.
That's a good point, but I think that's partially, like, limited by the fact that, I mean, Goldeen's a fish, so it can only come out in certain areas, and Onix is, like, huge.
Right. But this time, they're specifically picking Pokemon that they can kind of have in these group camping scenes and such. And I feel like they do a much better job of making sure we see all of them represented every time.
Yeah, I think they've learned that lesson as far as, like, integrating them into, like, the daily activities as well. Because, like you said, I think they're specifically picking ones that go with them personality-wise, but then also would work well in, like, an everyday situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which you can't really do that with, like, a Zubat or a Goldeen or an Onix.
It feels a lot more family-oriented, I guess, is how I would say.
Yeah.
Whereas we would go, like, 80 episodes of time without seeing, you know, horsey or whatever. You know, God, like, we forget they exist.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think they're being more deliberate with, like, how many they have on hand, which I know, like, sometimes we complain because we're like, oh, my God, when are they going to catch another Pokemon? But it makes more sense to have a cohesive group.
Well, we're going to catch a new Pokemon today, aren't we?
Oh, spoiler alert. All right.
So Ash, we're kind of redeeming Ash a little bit. His takeaway from that whole do for Jim scenario was he was rushing and he was thoughtless and careless. No mention of the fact that he was kind of mean to everyone, but I guess we're going to practice mindfulness today. And as May and Max commentate, kind of annoyingly, Ash is meditating with his three Pokemon on the beachfront, waiting for a wave to come up and crash. And then he's like, we're going to wait till the last second and dodge as a group. All four of us are going to do it. So I love that because A, it's interesting. It's something Ash has never done before. B, it's addressing a singular complaint about himself, about how he failed previously. See, did I already say this? It's Ash physically participating with the other Pokemon?
You hadn't said it yet, but that's a good example of how he's getting involved.
And I thought Brock had a really interesting comment because he said, that's good for Ash. He's not focusing on power or ability and technique like he usually does. He's focusing specifically on mindfulness and awareness of what's going on around him and staying focused. That's something he really needed to do. So I love that. I love this kind of stuff.
I'm here for the Ash personal growth arc that we're having.
Episodes like this, actually, it kind of makes sense how Ash goes from his season one persona of being misogynistic brat who doesn't think about anything.
Oh my God.
To his later years persona as like the friend to all living creatures that he becomes.
Yeah, like if you compare, that's such a good point. Like if you compare season one attitude Ash versus his like most recent Sun and Moon or Journeys Ash, he's done a complete 180 in terms of, that's exactly right. Like he's very, everything's great, I'm your hype man, like I'm gonna be here to support you kind of thing, instead of you're an idiot, everything's stupid kind of thing.
Yeah, like even the previous episode Ash was complaining and it was like, why are we going fishing, this is a waste of our time. And before that it was like, why do we want to go swim in the ocean, let's get to the gym. Whereas in later seasons he'll specifically make a point to say all these little side quests, all these little taking it easy and seeing how the world is, every single thing is a factor that helps us develop as people and trainers.
Good.
So I really like, this is a great episode. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. It's a good one. I like when we have these moments of like, we're pretty unanimous in terms of like, yeah, nope, this was good.
Much better than whatever the hell Steven was doing underground for 5 months.
Digging around.
So wave training goes on. And at first, Talo's feeling eager and he's like, yeah, let's do this. Yeah. And it's like, Talo, calm the fuck down. And later, Trico gets too into meditating, and I don't know what exactly it is, but he waits too long to flee from the wave. I guess maybe either he mistimed it, or he thought, no, I could hang in here a little longer, watch me dodge this thing, be real cool, like.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it was the latter. I think definitely he was being a little cocky in his ability and being like, I can do this, I can wait to the very last second and do it, but then he completely overestimates his ability. And gets,
so he kind of gets embarrassed, yeah. And he has to learn that he needs to listen to his trainer and like be in sync with them, being part of the group.
Yeah, because right now I think Trico's still in his kind of like, I'm a lone wolf doing my
I'm
thing.
I'm the only one who's going to fight for this tree and all that nonsense.
I'm going to smack the elderly person in my group. And
I'm going to run away and jump off this waterfall. You can't stop me.
Yeah, he's being very Sasuke right now.
So May teases Ash, and Ash is still pretty immature because then he snaps at her and is like, oh, what the fuck training are you doing, May? I don't see you doing anything, and you're not even preparing for your Pokemon contest at all. And I'm like, good point, Ash. You were kind of rude about it. She hasn't done anything.
May has not done a singular thing. And honestly, I felt like Ash was completely justified in calling that shit out, because if she's going to go around and give him a hard time, she has to be able to back it up. And she is still a complete novice, even below novice. I mean, she really doesn't know anything about anything. And at least Ash is trying, and she's just going to, like, sit there and criticize. I definitely think that he was right in knocking her down a peg.
It's giving Ash before the Indigo League.
Yeah.
Bumming around and literally doing nothing and watching TV.
But he got called out on that, too.
He did, and he deserved it.
Yeah, so she needs to get a reality check.
Well, this is where May reveals that surprise she has been practicing. And we see what her practicing entails.
What the hell?
She goes up, and she's like, everyone watch this. I have been working on our entrances. So she does like a whole dance routine in front of everyone by herself before she throws out both Torchic and Wurmple. And it's like, okay, what are they going to do? And what they're going to do is Torchic is going to start running in circles as Wurmple starts wildly flailing its body around.
Wurmple was like raving. Like, what the fuck was that?
That was really cute. I love that.
That was the best thing I've ever seen. Oh my God.
So May's like, no. We didn't talk about that. Torchic, you're supposed to do like a front somersault. And Wurmple, you're supposed to be doing, like, what was it supposed to be doing? Like, spinning around, I guess.
Wurmple was supposed to do. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I just was random thought.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the anime Soul Eater?
I saw one episode.
One episode. Okay.
Way back in the day.
There's like a little running gag in that anime where they come across the legendary sword Excalibur. Mm-hmm. But like, if you know anything about that show, there's humans and then weapons. And like, oftentimes the weapons look human and they can transform into weapons. But this character, Excalibur, is like this little nondescript, freakish little creature with like big eyes. Wurmple has the same eyes.
Oh.
Here, let me see if I can find a picture.
This is random.
I know. Yeah, here. It's got the same eye.
I guess, yeah.
Literally, it's a white circle with a black circle in it.
Let me look at Wurmple.
When you look at Wurmple and you look at Excalibur's true form, same thing. Anyway, sorry, that was my completely irrelevant thing that I had to add. So
Wurmple is actually the ancient sword Excalibur, just FYI. Yeah,
who is extremely annoying and everybody hates Excalibur, so.
I love Wurmple.
I know, I do too. Wurmple's great.
Okay, so Brock and Max have some critiques for me. The first thing they say is, well, all you're doing is like dancing around on like flailing your body around. It's not about you. This is not a human contest. It's a Pokemon contest. So the Pokemon need to be the ones that are in the spotlight, not you. You need to calm it down. Which I thought was hilarious because I have seen Pokemon XY. And that is not the case in the Kalos region.
Well, maybe different region, different rules. Like, this one's more...
Very different rules. Pokemon? That's a very different world.
Yeah, exactly.
Serena would be heartbroken to hear that critique.
I know. They judge the people, too, and their style and performances.
But for Pokemon contests in the Hoenn region, it's about the Pokemon itself. The trainer doesn't matter so much. Although Jesse might disagree with that as we'll discover in later seasons. Mm-hmm. The other thing I thought was interesting was they say, you don't send out two Pokemon at once. You send out one. Which is not true. We will see cases of double performances later, but I guess we don't know that yet.
I think they changed their mind along the way.
Yeah, they had to make it more dynamic, I guess.
Yeah.
I also found it interesting that May uses her catchphrase for the first time. She says, on stage, as she sends out her Pokemon.
Oh!
Which is the way they are translating her Japanese phrase, which is her saying in English, stage on.
Stage on.
And eventually, the dub is going to codify it so her catchphrase is, take the stage.
Okay, that's interesting.
I like to pay attention to the little things like that.
Ooh, I love this progression, personal journey.
Remember when Misty's catchphrase was, go my steady?
Go my steady?
Like she would call her Pokemon her steady?
What the fuck? I don't remember that at all, but I will.
They did not translate it for the 4Kids dub because it was bizarre.
Does a steady, like as a noun, like does that mean like a... Like a confidant, like a...
Does she mean like a steady boyfriend? Is that what it is?
Let's see what Merriam-Webster has to say. Verb, adverb. Oh, steady. One that is steady, specifically a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yep.
What? Okay, what? Maybe. That's so weird.
I mean, Misty was always like a romantic character, at least in her mind. Because like in the game, you interrupt her date with a random guy at one point. And I guess, like, she's, like, making goo-goo eyes at boys, like specifically Ash, because she has bad taste.
I guess she fits that stereotype of, like, the love-struck girl that always is daydreaming about the boy. But that's weird that she calls her Pokemon that.
Anyway. Okay, so
interesting fun fact.
May has a lot to learn, but She claims that she based her entire choreography based on Steven's battling style.
Oh my god. If there was ever a confirmation right here, right now, this is it. Don't sit there and give me crap about shipping May and Steven, because what the fuck is this?
Okay, I have a lot to say about
it. I have a lot to say about it. You go first.
All we saw from Steven was him saying hyper beam, and it blew a hole in the canyon, or in the wall.
Austin, have you ever been a teenage girl?
No, I have not.
Okay, that's all you need, all right? All you need is to see somebody, and then all you have to do is hype that person up in your head, and they become anything you want. So clearly...
She created a whole fake Steven, kind of like you did.
Yes, she has created the fantasy Steven in her head, and now everything she does is informed by this one encounter that she's had.
And she's, like, gushing all over him, because she's like, oh, his Pokemon moves so, like, stylishly and efficiently. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Austin, I'm telling you, this is the hallmark right here. You know she got bit by the love bug, because...
Oh my god, that's too funny. You could just wish that had been canon, like that.
You could just tell. I can see it. It's all over. The signs are there.
Oh my god.
This is perfect.
My other thought was, maybe they have smartphones, and she Googled... Like, obsessively Googled Steven battle performance and was like...
Mm-mm. No, okay. She's got it bad. She's got it bad. She loves Steven. And I don't think they interacted, like, once, which tells you more than you need to know. Because she's like, again, she saw this guy from afar, and now she's completely created a fantasy Steven. So...
Oh, that's too good.
I love it. Fucking love it.
Now the episode actually really begins, because the mysterious burrowing creature appears and steals the twerp's tent...
What the hell?
And so May actually stands up and she's like, Wurmple, you string shot on that and we'll like lasso it in. Which does work. And Trico goes over and tries to pull with Wurmple. And eventually all of them kind of grab onto the Wurmple. But instead, the mysterious creature drags them into the ocean. Which was kind of funny. Hijinks.
Yeah.
Cut to all of them wearing their boxers underwear because they've had to take their clothes off. May is like naked in a towel.
Yeah, she's, like, wrapped up in a towel. What the hell is that? I guess she has one outfit.
Well, she should have, like, 70 swimsuits, remember?
Yeah, what happened to her wearing her swimsuit under her clothes all the time?
She bought a million of them at the Restboro Mall.
To be fair, I guess they were in the middle of doing laundry, and then her clothes that she was wearing might have been her, like, only other outfit that she had, and that's been ruined, so.
How hilarious was it them doing their laundry and all the laundry was clothes we've never seen them wear?
I know. Okay, sometimes we do get very rare instances where they're, like, staying at a Pokemon Center and stuff, and they do wear, like, little pajama outfits.
Yeah. But sometimes they sleep in their, like, entire, like, clothes. Character sheet wardrobe, and sometimes they sleep in, like, new pajamas that change every episode. It's really weird.
Guys, I'm just saying, like, if you know anything about me, I'm very particular about outside clothes versus inside clothes. I can't abide somebody like coming in and wearing, like, could you imagine going through your whole day tromping through the wilderness, going outside, getting hot and sweaty and dirty, and then going into your bed and just sleeping in your clothes? Ugh, gross. That's disgusting.
I will note, we saw at least Ash has two shirts, because we saw another black shirt with the red stripe on the drying line. So the implication is they really do have multiple copies of the same outfit.
Oh my god.
It's here! The wasp! Go get it! Go get it!
Fuck!
Don't stop recording!
I'm not.
Alex has found the wasp.
It's on the ceiling!
It's on the ceiling. Get it!
I can't Spray hear it. You, but it's on the ceiling. What the fuck? Oh my god. How the hell am I supposed to reach that?
Okay, I guess we're back now.
Oh, God.
Alex has now failed twice to kill a bug.
Guys, it's a nightmare. I swear to God, I just told Austin, it fell and then disappeared, like, off the face of the planet. I have no idea where it went. Oh, my God, it's a nightmare. All right, anyway, so where the fuck were we?
Where the fuck were we? Oh, yeah.
Their laundry.
They're all in their underwear, and the boys are like, we gotta catch this goddamn thing, whatever it is. We gotta figure out what it is. They all speculate on what it could be. Ash says Diglett, Brock says Krabby, Max says Aeron. May doesn't give a shit, and she's done. May is like, Alex and the wasp, and she's like, get rid of it. I don't want to see it. Meanwhile, Jesse sees the digging thing again, And she tries to get revenge on it, but she steps on a Loudred, and it blasts them off a second time.
There's been a lot of Loudred recently, I feel like.
Yeah, we neglected to mention there was a Loudred in the Granite Cave in the previous episode, too.
Yeah, it kind of just yelled and ran away.
So now it's nighttime, and the Twerps are still trying to catch this mysterious creature. May is like, why are we doing this? And Ash is like, May, just run with it. Just go with it. And then it attacks them from behind. Stupid kids. It goes and it gets the food they set out as a trap. And it flees. But the audience and Ash both see a little red crest that we know as an audience that it's a corfish. But Ash has not figured that out yet. So now it's the next day. And May is done. She's ready to go. But the boys are very stubborn. And they're like, no, we got to stay here. So Ash gives us some wisdom from Professor Oak's poetry book and says, What happened before will happen once more. As a picture of two Sandslash appears on the screen.
What the hell?
It's very May says, Torchic use amber and a mushroom appeared on the screen.
What did they really say?
It had to be something about the sand, right? Because Sandslash.
Yes, it had to be.
And my first thought was, maybe they're just doing this script without seeing the animation. But that's not right, because they have to match lip flaps. So they do see the animation.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell they originally said, but...
So they just didn't care. Or they were time-crunched or something. So they didn't try to put a Sandslash pun in there.
I mean, maybe it's one of those, like, Japanese idioms that doesn't really translate very well.
I mean, it was, but they could have done something, but they didn't try.
I mean, what relevance did the Sandslash have then?
I don't know. I can't come up with anything because I'm not getting paid to do this shit.
Anyway, Professor Oak poetry shout out.
It doesn't matter. It turns out Max is a big fan of Professor Oak's Pokemon poetry, and May does not understand, and neither would I, if random Sandslash appeared without any explanation. Meanwhile, Fortress is getting a lot of spotlight this episode because it's spinning holes into the beach with a rapid spin. Because the Twerps are going to take a page from Team Rocket's book
and make a bunch
of pitfall traps everywhere.
I love this.
So cut to that night, because we are just wasting time at this point. And four mysterious seaweed-covered creatures slink onto the beach. And the Twerps are like, what's that? That's not what we saw before. But they're still excited to catch it in their pitfall trap. The two smaller seaweed creatures go and eat the Pokemon food. And then the two larger ones also eat the Pokemon food, because what self-respecting human would eat dog food on the beach? I think we know who those people are. Team Rocket, the seaweed creatures go over and fall into the pitfall trap, and the Twerps are so ecstatic until they realize it's just Team Rocket.
Boring.
Then the mysterious digging creature blasts them off for a third time from underneath, because it's a sneaky little thing. And at this point, Ash finally is able to electrocute it with Thunderbolt, and we reveal that, oh my god, it was a corfish.
Wow, fascinating.
Ash specifically says it's the same Pokemon from fishing. So, up to your imagination if it's the same one or not. I think if it was, we would be able to tell.
I don't know, that was kind of an ambiguous statement, because he's like, it's the same Pokemon, but does he mean, like, the same species of Pokemon? Like, hey, it's another corfish, or does he mean, like, hey, it's that same Pokemon, exactly the same one?
We'll never know.
Yeah, I don't think it had the same personality. I think this one was different.
No, I don't think it was the corfish.
No.
Because this corfish is a stubborn little cuss, and now he's mad, and he wants to fight. And Ash is so impressed that he's like, I need this stupid crawdad. So he sicks Pikachu on it, and Pikachu gets his ass kicked by Corfish.
Oh my god, pathetic.
Who redirects the momentum of Iron Tail into throwing it into the distance.
I don't know what the hell is wrong with Pikachu, but he's not on his game recently.
It's ever since he got that magnet sickness.
Oh yeah, the magnet sickness. Forgot about that part.
So now it's Trico's turn, and Trico gets to make up for his getting splashed with a wave earlier, because Trico has to stand still for a little bit, and Corfish is eventually goaded into attacking with a bubble beam, and Trico is able to expertly dodge it, and it quick attacks and pounds Corfish, and we are able to throw a Pokeball and catch the thing.
Finally.
Phew. We really kind of skimmed over the corfish section, but I thought the camping laundry section was a lot more interesting.
I mean, what's to say about it other than the fact that it was menacing them?
Action and then, sequence.
Yeah.
We got the corfish. So, hooray. Brock comments that Ash has really learned a lot from his losing his cool at the Doofer Gym. We really came around on that little storyline a lot better than I thought we would.
Definitely.
This is way better written than I thought it might be. So Ash sends out Corphish, and it's like, welcome to the king, Corphish. And Corphish is happy as a clam or a crawdad and grabs Ash to give him a handshake, and then he throws Ash away. The end.
Is that going to be the running gag with Corphish, like physically?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
But I will note, I thought it was interesting, this entire episode was Corphish digging in the sand. If we ever see Corphish digging in the sand after this, I don't remember it.
Maybe it chills out after it gets caught.
It must be the hypnotizing feature of the Pokeball.
We all know that sometimes that catching a Pokemon can chill them out, or it can enrage them or change their personality. Like, it really is just up to fate and chance. I don't know.
Let's flip the coin before Alex gets killed by a wasp.
God, it disappeared again, guys. I don't fucking know.
I'm going first. My right. MVP is Fortress.
Okay, yes, it deserves it.
For doing laundry and for digging holes. Good for Fortress. It never does anything, but today it is.
It's so cute.
My LVP. I guess Talo for being so erratic while waiting for the waves. That was kind of funny, but it was like, Talo, chill. You need to be the one chilling out.
I mean, Ash's Pokemon team at this moment, like, the species of Pokemon he has are pretty, like, I don't know what you would call it. Adrenaline or, like...
They all have a masculine energy to them in different ways.
Yeah.
Like, Talo's stubborn. Trico's also stubborn. Corphish is also stubborn.
They're all stubborn.
Is Talo a bad one? Should I give it to someone else?
I mean, I think you should go with your first instinct.
Okay. My quote will be at the end there. Brock says, hey, Ash, your plan to confuse Corphish was the perfect strategy. May asks, how come? Brock says, because you lose your cool, you lose your battle. And May says, oh, so Ash put his miserable loss at the Dewford Gym to good use.
Oh my god, that was so funny. I'm so sorry, the buzzing. I know, the fucking
you
thing.
You hear the buzzing.
It's in the light. It's in the fucking light.
Go get it. Go get it.
It's in the light. It's in the
light. What means in the light? What does that mean?
I have a chandelier light. Oh my
Spray
god.
Spray it. Spray it.
I can't. It's inside of it.
Go get a stepladder.
I can't. I don't have a stepladder. I can't. I don't have one. Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's just do this.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Okay, that was a great quote. You took my quote.
Okay, sorry.
All right.
Your MVP and LVP is what?
My LVP is this fucking wasp. I swear to God. This has been menacing me this entire... It's fucking... It's Corphish. This is my Corphish, okay? It's fucking just been menacing me this entire time, and I'm about to fucking kill it when I can. Oh my God, it's buzzing everywhere. Okay, my MVP is going to be Wurmple for being so cute and reminding me of that one creepy thing from Soul Eater. Okay, my quote, because you took it... I guess the beginning where Jesse is laying on the beach and James says, I'm calling for a strategy meeting ASAP. And Meow says, if her majesty can find some royal time off.
Great. Okay, yes. Do you want to focus on the wasp and I'll take us out?
Yeah, go ahead. Austin's going to do what he never does, and he's gonna take us out.
What's happening next week is we are watching another Corphish episode. It's a Corphish out of water. The second episode is a Mudkip mission.
Ooh,
so okay. Join us back next week and we will cover that. I wonder what's going to happen with the Mudkip episode. Who knows?
Oh my God. Mystery for the ages.
All right. So thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. Really and truly. If you guys would like to reach out to us, you can do so via our email, which is outofthedryandpan@gmail.com. Again, that is outofthedryandpan@gmail.com. You can also reach to us on our socials. I run the Blue Sky, Out of the Drying Pan. Alex has the Instagram that she runs, which is Out of the Drying Pan as well. If you want to support us, you can come over to our Patreon. We have a lot of cool bonus features over there, like pre-records, bonus episodes, Twitch streams, all sorts of stuff. And we'd really appreciate it. We'd also appreciate if you leave a 5-star review. We really need those, actually. Please do so on your favorite podcasting platform. So join us next week as the journey continues.
I did it, y'all. The wasp is dead. The beast is vanquished. The saga is over. The end.